Welcome to Faith Renewed, a ministry of Faith Recovery Fellowship right here in Alaska. Knowing Jesus as Lord is the most important thing in our lives, and we aim to share the true gospel with everyone. Join us as we share that very message today. We invite you to know the Lord Jesus Christ so that you may know true salvation. You can also visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org, that's O-R-G, for more information about our local church. God is good, and Jesus saves all who surrender their lives to Him. Amen.
In the book of James, we'll be picking up in chapter 3 today. And we're going to be focusing on something that is probably near and dear to all of our hearts, something that we maybe have all experienced, is that the tongue is a fire. And so that references to how we use our tongue, whether we speak truth, whether we speak negatively. As we explore that throughout today, just be aware that this is not something that alone rests with you. It is something that many people struggle with, including myself, right? We are, none of us are perfect, but in the presence, in the eyes of God, we are all perfect to Him. And so as we kind of navigate through this, I want you to just remember that sometimes we have good days and sometimes we have bad days, but it doesn't mean that for the remainder of our time on this earth that we are subject to those bad days, okay? So let's pick up in James chapter 3. We're going to go verses 1 through 12 today. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. So how great or big a forest is set aflame by such a small fire? And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. Lord Father, thank you again for your presence here in this house today, Father, as we're here to worship you. Father, as we dive into your word, the knowledge of you that's possessed within the scripture, Father, we just ask that you be preparing our hearts and our minds, and that today, as we navigate this, as we look at your text, Father, please help us to draw what's applicable to us and look through it with the same lens that you intended, Father. We ask that you would use this time to grow us, to nourish us, Father, and that we would be better off at the end of this time together, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. So as we pick up this week in the book of James, last week we started off in James chapter 1. And so we talked about testing of our faith. We talked about what that looks like for us, the trials that we might endure, how temptations come about, what to do with them when we have our desires. But for those of you that weren't here last week, I want to just kind of give you a little bit of background about James and why this book is so impactful. So the book of James has tons of knowledge for us, and it's only a few short chapters, 5 chapters, but what's contained inside of it is lots of practical knowledge for Christian living. And so because of that, some of the information contained in here is very straightforward. And so we have to take a step back, slow down a little bit, and investigate it, look at it, digest it, so that we can begin to apply that to our lives and understand that, you know, none of us are perfect. And so every day we have a new opportunity to wake up and to try again, to be the best that we can be. And so, you know, that process of sanctification is lifelong. It doesn't happen in one day. We're going to spend the rest of our lives seeking to grow closer to Christ as we can. And so again, James is the half brother of Jesus. And so he put this together for us for that very reason, is just so that we can take the insightful wisdom that was produced and that was taught during Jesus's earthly ministry. He's packaged it up nicely for us, and he's translated it to something that we can actually digest, we can use. And so we're thankful for that. And today, when we're looking in chapter 3, we have to be reminded that our tongue, this small little chunk of muscle in our mouth, is very powerful, because it could do things like, it could build people up, which is a good thing, but it can also tear people down if it's used incorrectly, if we do it without discretion, and it can wound. Sometimes words can leave, you know, lasting wounds for people. So words matter. Harsh words, they sting, right? Like a slap, like when you run into something, or somebody, you know, taps you on the back, or you get stung by a bee, right? Words can sting in the same way. And so we have to be aware of that. Now, those kind words, they might feel like that warm embrace. And so just kind of picture that as you reflect upon this, as we're going through this. You know, have you been somebody who's stung others? Have you been somebody who gives a warm embrace? You know, what is it? How do you use your words on a daily basis? How is this message applicable to you? Now, James highlights that power, right? Although it's a small member of our mouth or of our body, that tongue, it just, there's so much power that is contained in it, which is why James focuses on it. It can steer our lives, and it ultimately will reveal our hearts. So we're going to talk about heart issues today. We're going to talk about why it is that some of the issues that we may be dealing with in our heart come out through our mouth. And, you know, many of us kind of grew up hearing that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So it's one of those things where it's easy to say, but sometimes can be hard to live out in a practical way. Nothing can really kind of be further from the truth than that, especially if you are young or if you've been subject to lots of negative influence in your life, or people speaking not truths over you, not positive things, but speaking negative things over you. And so we want to kind of take a look back at this and just really understand that it's not always the person's intent to be negative or to be hurtful, but it is a revelation of what is contained in their heart. And so we may appear strong when those hurtful words come to us or when those accusations are spoken, but we all kind of know internally that pain that we carry from those sharp lashes of the tongue. And so some of the issues concerning the tongue and how we use it, so our speech really, can be found throughout the epistle or letter of James. If you guys remember from, well, back in chapter 1, verse 26, it says, if anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless. And so what that's really getting at there is that if we are somebody who cannot control our tongue, we can quickly erode our witness in front of others. And so we have to look at that and say, well, if it's mentioned once, and now we're in the chapter 3, we know that that's 2 times, where else is it going to be mentioned in the book of James, and why is this so important? So in chapter 4, verse 11, it says, do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. So how many times in your life have you been judged, or have you judged others? And have you spoken that out loud? Have you sent something out of your mouth that you regretted? And so verse 13 in chapter 4, same thing. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Well, at that point, what are we doing? We're boasting of something that we're looking at this and saying, like, within, under our own power, today or tomorrow, you know what? We're going to go to the city. We're going to go down to Anchorage, and we're going to spend a year there, and we're going to engage in business, and we're going to make a profit, right? So we're trying to speak something into existence, like, you know, eroding the sovereignty, that witness of the Lord's sovereignty over our lives. We are empty boasting. We are not able to just go out and just speak like that and other things that happen. What do? We boost ourselves up. We have prideful examples of ourselves that we might say, oh, I'm the best in the world. I'm the best ball player. You know, I'm the best redheaded, red-bearded guy in this room, right? So there are things where we have to be aware that we can use our tongue in such a negative way, which seems inconsequential in the moment, but there's a lasting impact. Chapter 5, verse 9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. How many times have you complained? How many times have you complained in the last week? How many times have you grumbled? How many times have you complained or grumbled about somebody else that's sitting in this room? That's the reality, is that sometimes the heart issues that we're experiencing, the frustrations that we're experiencing, it can come out verbally through these verbal frustrations that we have with our mouth. And the things that we say in response to those heart issues can be painful and they can have a lasting impact. I know most of us are familiar with the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs contains lots and lots of verses about speech and why that is important. In fact, it's over 100 times. And depending on who you read and who you study, the target number is about 149. About 149 references to speech just in the book of Proverbs. And so there's 31 Proverbs. Oddly enough, there's 31 days in most months. So if you read a proverb a day, there's a little insight for you. A proverb a day goes a long way, okay? And then in February, you get to read two extras. But understand that the book of Proverbs does this intentionally because, again, this one little muscle that's in our body is so damaging that we have got to learn to control it. So Proverbs 10, verses 18 through 20 says that he who conceals hatred has lying lips, and he who spreads slander is a fool. And when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is a choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. Again, the reference to our speech and our heart. I want you to understand that in verse 19, when it says, when there are many words, transgressions unavoidable, sometimes it's important for us to speak less and listen more. And for us to slow down and not to just immediately respond to the circumstance, but to listen to what's being told to us. That's why it says, he who restrains his lips is wise. Sometimes we can allow things to just roll off of our tongue so easily, but we can't take those things back. We can apologize wholeheartedly, but we can't actually take it back. That witness of our heart has come out of our mouth and become truth, has become something that we've projected onto somebody else or our situations. Proverbs 13, 3. The one who guards his mouth preserves his life. The one who opens wide his lips comes to ruin. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Folks, if we can control our tongue, you can control your whole self, okay? And we'll explore this a little bit more, but the tongue has the ability to direct a lot of things in our lives. Has the power to destroy a lot of things in our lives, and has the power to bless a lot of things and people in our lives. And so as we're stepping through the next 12 verses, please be thinking that. How does the tongue direct things in our lives? How does it destroy things, or how does it bless things or people in our lives? The responsibility of teachers is a big takeaway, and we're going to spend just a minute here on this because it's important to understand what this means. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such, we will incur stricter judgment. So James understood that there's a significant amount of weight that's carried by those who teach God's word, okay? That doesn't necessarily mean that it's only for a pastor or that it's only for a deacon or, you know, an elder of a church. But this is anybody who picks up the word of God to proclaim and to teach. We must understand that there's a significant amount of responsibility that's carried by anybody that's going to handle the word of God. They're responsible for handling that scripture properly and communicating it in a way that is going to draw people towards the faith versus pushing them away. And so sometimes we can you know, maybe our ears are tuned in or we're listening to somebody who's on one end of the spectrum. Either everything is great or everything is terrible. And so we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of how we speak concerning the Word of God, how we proclaim it. But again, we must understand that those who handle the Word of God on a regular basis, mainly your pastors, are going to be incurred that stricter judgment for how they administer the Word of God. And so James includes that in here because the amount of speaking that's done in the church by church staff or deacons or pastors or elders, the amount of teaching that occurs in that way, there's plenty of opportunity for us to say something that is wrong or incorrect. And so we're also going to explore that just a little bit later in scripture. So that is the purpose of that verse. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on it today, but that is the reason that that is there, because that warning exists for those that are handling the scripture the way that they are. Jumping down to verse 2, it says, "For we all stumble in many ways." Okay. I think we can all agree that that word stumble is interchangeable with the word sin. And so we all sin in many different ways. If anyone does not stumble or sin in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And so that's that indication there that we saw earlier, that if you're able to control your tongue, you're able to be in control of your body, right? You're controlling your whole self. When it references he is a perfect man in the whole body, we're talking every part of you, your heart, you know, your mouth, everything. You're able to be under control wholly, fully, if you can control your mouth, your tongue, because it is an evil fire, as we'll see here soon. James's admission that we all make mistakes, we all stumble, we all sin, really aligns with the fact that, you know, sin, it really affects every part of the human person, you know, since the fall of Adam. And so that includes our speech. That's not just sinning of the mind or things that we think, you know, or sins that we might project or physical things that we might do. The tongue is not morally neutral. Like your tongue itself, because it's connected through the heart, again, back to the heart issue, it itself is not neutral. It's not something that just exists in space and time, but there's nothing attached to it. It's not just a muscle like in your bicep, right? That's just hanging out there. This tongue, without it, you wouldn't have clarity of speech. You wouldn't be able to say the things that you do. It reflects, again, that fallen heart apart from the grace of God. And so everyone stumbles in those different ways. We're all weak, right? That the tongue really reveals that to us. And that mature faith that's described here in this verse is really evidenced by people who are disciplined enough to control their tongue. Control the tongue leads to, again, the control of your whole life. If mastering your tongue is a sign of spiritual maturity, why is it so hard to do? I can assure you that the saints, those that have been around for a long time, that have been walking in the faith for a long time, they probably still at times would struggle with this, right? Why is it so hard for us to control our tongue, right? Here's the thing, our tongue is restless. And it is not tameable without the help of God, without the application of scripture, without the Holy Spirit. So to control your tongue, you master your life. And we understand that our words have that power. We just need to be really mindful of what we say. So we need to be rejecting that kind of self-confidence we have in ourselves. Like, oh, I've been walking with the Lord for 45 years. Well, it doesn't mean that we can't have those mistakes. We need to be aware of that. We need to confess and repent of our sinful speech. We need to be aware of that and bring that to the Lord and turn away from the lashes of our tongue that we have a hard time controlling with others. Verses 3 and 4, it brings up some illustrations here that might be a little confusing, or you might figure out, or might be asking, well, why exactly is this here? The thing about it is that it's almost so clear. You're like, why is this here? Why do we even have to say this? But let's pick it apart just a little bit. All right. So it says, if we put the bits into the horse's mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. This is the picture. I'm a 200-pound man sitting on top of a 1,000-pound horse. And how am I going to control this thing? Right. Well, how do I do it? I put a bridle in their mouth. I have the reins and I'm pulling on that bridle or releasing the pressure on the bridle, and I'm asking that horse to do something. And so that's the reference that's being made here, is that if we put that bridle into our own mouths, you know, how is that controlling us? We're going to explore that just a little bit here. But that's the point that's made, is that we must be bridled. And so look at verse 4. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot or the captain desires. Well, here we are now. We're looking at this giant ship. If you guys think of like the old ships, like we'll go with the Mayflower, right? That maybe the Pilgrims were on, or just those old schooners that we see out there, or even the big sailboats that race across the Atlantic nowadays, these big boats are pushed around by the wind. And so how do they direct their position amongst the sea? How do they get to where they're going? They have a small rudder that can change the whole direction of that ship. And again, our tongue is that rudder. So when we change the direction of our speech, we can change the direction of not only our life, but others and how we impact them. That's the comparison that's being made here, is that our words can guide our actions. And what is spoken, what we say, can shape what the results are of that. Small things that we say can exert really great influence upon others, like bits and rudders that go in the horse's mouth. As a parent, you're teaching your children how to navigate life how you think is best, based off of your experiences and the things that you have been through. So now you are exerting that great influence on your children by how you speak. Are you lifting them up or are you tearing them down? Same thing as we look at our spouses or our significant others, the same things. How are we guiding the ship that is our relationship? And without guidance, without seeking the truth of God and the word of wisdom here, without guidance, life is unstable. It's easy for us to get off track and we're never reminded that our tongue, that is a rudder of our life. And so that tongue, although again, small, it is definitely something that directs every step in our lives. And so that spiritual maturity, again, begins back with mastering our speech, not necessarily just restraining it, okay? We need to be able to use our knowledge of God and what's in the scriptures and to be able to speak truth to others and be aware that if we don't control the negative things that we say, then we're not restraining ourselves. So we are unrestrained at that point. Verses 5-6 goes deeper, and you're going to see here where it starts talking about fire, right? What is fire doing in here? What's with all these illustrations and why do these matter? It says, so also the tongue is that small part. We've already hit that. And yet it boasts of great things. We've talked about that too. How great is a forest set aflame by such a small fire? The illustration that's being drawn here is that a forest fire, you talk about the fires in the Alcan here in Alaska or the Yukon out to Canada. You look at California. That's the most recent one in history that we can really talk about. Southern California, one spark from one person burned down a significant portion of that area in Southern California. That one spark, that one word that comes from us can cause significant damage. And we have to be aware that that one thing we say could change the whole experience or relationship even that we're having with somebody. Or that if you're in a position where you're, you know, maybe you're giving a lesson, you're teaching somebody, or you're working with your coworkers, something you say, what if you say the wrong thing? What if you treat them poorly? You know, what if you're giving a review of one of your employees and you use negative language that's not truthful? Maybe you embellish what you say. How does that affect them? Are you boosting them up? Are you encouraging them to work harder? Or are you tearing them down? You have to look at what you say, how big of a fire you're about to set, and what it's going to burn, right? And as you guys know, it's really hard to contain a fire once it's burning, right? You have to dump sand, water, firefighters, whatever it is, depending on the size of it, but it's going to take a lot of extra effort to do damage control, but the results of it are still there. We still have the soot on the ground and the scarring on the land, if you will, from that fire that was set. So the tongue is a fire, okay? The very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. We've heard that before. We're going to get to that. We've heard that elsewhere in scripture. And it sets on fire the course of our life. Again, it's going to direct where our life goes and is set on fire by hell. And so I want to point out here that that word hell it may seem odd that this is like in scripture, the way that it's written, but hell here is referenced to Gehenna, which is a Greek word used for hell in the New Testament. That word really is tied to the Valley of Hinnom, which was a famous place where they practiced child sacrifice. It's outside the city of Jerusalem. But right now it's described as, like, it's referred to commonly as a burning heap of garbage, right? And so when we look at this and we say that it sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell, nothing is good. So we have to understand that there's that fire, there's a correlation that it is not the greatest thing, right? It's not something that's super positive, right? And so we have to recognize this, the severity of the use of our tongue.
As we close part one of this two-part sermon, James leaves us with a serious but hopeful reminder. Our words matter because they reveal our hearts. The tongue may be small, but it carries great power for good or for harm. Scripture makes it clear that none of us can tame it on our own. That reality is meant to drive us to Christ, not to despair. Jesus alone spoke with perfect righteousness, and he bore the judgment for every careless word we have ever spoken. Through faith in him, we are forgiven, justified, and being sanctified. As the Holy Spirit continues his work in us, our speech should increasingly reflect the grace we have received. Let us ask the Lord to guard our mouths, to shape our words, and to help us speak in ways that honor God and build others up. May our tongues be instruments of truth, humility, and love, all for the glory of God. Please join us next week as we finish up part two of this sermon from Pastor Gus. We would also like to ask you to partner with us as we reach across the state of Alaska on radio, and Lord willing, TV as well. Everything helps when it comes to making sure more and more people have the chance to hear the gospel of Christ, for there is no other message of salvation on earth. As Christ continues to change lives, we ask you to visit us online at faithrecoveryfellowship.org to help us in the way of donations to ensure that more have the opportunity to know Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection.